I meant to do this during announcements, but I didn't have it on my notes, so I didn't do it during announcements. But I know many of you have been praying for Gary and Sue. And so I wanted to give you guys just a quick update. I got to speak with them a little bit this morning, got to go visit them in the hospital on Thursday and just kind of let you know what's going on with them. Surgery on Wednesday went as well as it could. Doctors gave kind of good prognosis. Thankfully, you know, you're waiting there for news in the waiting room, and Pastor Gary said they were actually really good about communicating with him what's going on throughout the whole process. The node on her lung was cancerous, and so they went ahead and took the whole lower lobe out and then sent her into recovery. The prognosis on the lymph nodes came in as negative, so it's not likely she's going to need chemotherapy or radiation or anything moving forward, so praise God for that. We were all waiting for that call. I don't know how many people he texted once the doctor came in and said that, but we were kind of waiting by the phone to hear that she was in the clear. A couple things just to update you on. She was, at best case scenario, going home on Friday. She is not home yet. Don't think that the end of the world or anything is happening here. She's just healing a little slower than some people are. And so the latest update is that it's looking like hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday morning she'll get to kind of go home and rest in your own bed. There's something about your own bed, isn't it? And so please keep Gary and Sue in your prayers and the family in your prayers as she continues to heal. It was an honor to take a card and some flowers down on Thursday on behalf of you guys. And so she received that, and Pastor Gary, if you're friends with him on Facebook, posted a picture thanking you as a church for all of your prayer and support through this surgery and the healing time there. So thank you, church, for being God's hands, feet, mouth, ears as they're going through that process here. There we go. We're going to start now our message, or actually we're going to end our message, our series, Words to Live By. And you know the stinking jar is still up here, so we're probably going to reference that sometime this morning as well. But I wanted to, again, just take a moment to recap kind of where we've been. The first week we learned that your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And we asked, what lies are you believing and where have those lies taken you? And I got to share with you my struggles, and some of them were obvious where they've taken me. Others you would never even know if I haven't shared them with you. But we decided that we wanted the course correct, that I didn't want that to be the direction my life was heading. And so it's been a process since August to realign my life, to redirect my thoughts, therefore redirecting the direction of my life. And hopefully you guys have started that just a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we spent time identifying the truths that exist in God's Word that expel and combat the lies and the struggles that we believe. Now, I realize that the language in your booklets that you have is written by me, because that's what made sense to me. But I want to encourage you, as you're working through the homework, word it so it makes sense to you. I've been talking with a number of you, and you're like, hey, I don't feel like I'm doing it right, because I couldn't figure out this. And I was like, no, this is for you. You're not doing it to appease me. You're not doing it to appease Grace Church. So you do it the way that makes the most sense to you, that speaks your language as you begin to work through these things. And so we looked at Scripture and the power that exists in Scripture to expel those lies and speak life into the struggles, or death into the struggles, rather, that we're dealing with in our lives. And then last week we learned that, you know, God speaks things over our lives, but it's up to us to actually let it speak into our lives. It's not that God can't go down and break the doors or prepare our hearts or begin to speak into our lives, but it's us saying, He's spoken something and I want that for me. And we created what we're calling this whole series, what we entitled this whole series by, in Words to Live By. If your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, what words are you speaking into your life that are fueling that direction? And we spoke about that last week. And so this week we discover that as God refines us and redefines us in our own eyes, He wants to empower us and use us to grow His kingdom. And I'll share with you some of the fruits of what God has done in my life and hopefully what He'll begin to do in yours. So let's jump right into it. I think today could be also labeled the hodgepodge of miscellaneous thoughts that didn't fit into the last 3 weeks. So we're going to get a lot of stuff done, and it seems like I'm jumping around. It's because I am. So try to track with me, church, and we'll wrap this up today. So how do we destroy false arguments or lies? I love this verse. It's been a verse that kind of went, I guess you could say, I didn't understand its power until this series kind of entered into my life, until I watched it first when Craig Groeschel delivered it and now get to study it and prepare to deliver it to you guys. But it's a powerful verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says this: "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ." Life is going to throw all sorts of things at you. And it's up to you to determine what to do that. So every word that someone shares, every show or movie that you watch, video game that you play, book that you read, conversation that you have, class that you enter, is throwing some bit of information at you. And prior to this, maybe you didn't know how to deal with that. Maybe you're like, well, it's coming at me, so I'm just going to take it. Or maybe in this day and age, it's a political view that you don't get along with. And so you're like, well, that's lies. So why can we do that for political things, but we can't do it in the name of our spirituality? And so this verse is saying, new lie, capture it, teach it to obey Christ. Negative thought, capture it and teach it to obey Christ. New lies will come, capture them and teach them to obey Christ. How I would describe my life, you know, when I was a little bit more immature as I was a teenager, was I was a pool with no filter. And if you don't have a filter, what kind of becomes with the pool? It becomes kind of this muddy, mossy, nasty water. We bought a house about 5 years ago, and it had a pool, but it wasn't full of water. In order to close on the house, they had to fill it with either dirt or with water. And I thought, well, since we don't know what we're doing with it, let's just fill it with water. And so we filled in the holes that they had drilled into the bottom and filled it with water. Well, we didn't run any filter or anything, and it was like Clear Lake in our backyard. It was green, it was kind of nasty, but then we began to just run water through it, put shocker in it, and to see how, you know, in a matter of hours, how it would become clean and how it would clean up. Well, our lives need filters, people, and this verse is a great verse that tells us how to switch our filters on, because it's basically saying everything you consume, everything that comes out your mind needs to go through the filter of, does this belong in my life? If not, I can teach it to obey Christ. I can capture it and I can teach it what it needs to be before it could enter into my life. Church, that's what we need to be about. Putting everything through the filter of our mind before we just accept it as a truth for us. Hold every thought captive and teach it to obey Christ. Another thing I want to encourage you in, seek God first every day before your head leaves the pillow. Daily remember to seek God. The world will tell you that the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. But I'm here to proclaim a new truth over your life, and that's that the best part of waking up is that you have another day, another opportunity to teach this world how to let their thoughts obey Christ. Another opportunity to walk and live in obedience. Another opportunity to let your light shine before men. Darn, I skipped ahead of my notes. That's what we're talking about today. But anyways, we have a new opportunity each day, and it starts before your head leaves the pillow. Now, I know some of you, you're doing this homework, you're doing this book, you're doing this work, and you're just like, okay, Pastor Paul, I wrote it all down. What now? Like, I got it all on paper. Hopefully by today, you're mostly completed that process. If you're catching up, don't wait, do it. But what do I do with these words? What do I do with these passages? What do I do with these struggles? And here's what I want you to do. It's some advice on how to speak these words. Speak them loud, out loud. It's awkward, I know. I usually do it in my car, so I'm like the only one that hears it, because otherwise, you know, walking through Kelseyville Lumber, people are going to think you're weird, okay? So speak them out loud. Find a place. Create a place where you could speak those words out loud. Speak them with confidence. Speak them with a sense of that this is what I'm becoming. Speak them with a sense of this is what I'm overcoming. Speak them with a sense of confidence. Speak them in moments of weakness. This has been one of the greatest things for me, as I'm staring down a beautiful cheeseburger. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And cheeseburgers sometimes aren't temple food. So speak them in your moments of weakness. Next, declare them in moments of strength. I think oftentimes we say, I need to speak that in my moment of weakness, but we don't celebrate that God is renewing our minds in those moments of strength. So declare them, I will overcome that cheeseburger because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Speak your struggles, people. Don't go yelling at cheeseburgers this week. Even if they don't seem true yet, speak those true statements. Some of you are like, I can't say my body is a temple because it just doesn't seem like it. And I say, well, no, your body is a temple. It just might need some cleaning. What did Jesus do with the temple in the New Testament? He went out and he drove out money changers because it didn't belong there. Well, drive some stuff out of your temple of your life because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, find new truths to proclaim over your life. The interesting thing is we're not done here. If you figured out how to solve or remedy or claim victory over every struggle and lie that you wrote down, the devil's got another one lurking around the corner. And so we're not done simply because we've conquered those. We've received victory in those. Around the corner is a new lie, a new struggle, a new trial, a new hardship. And so don't stop. Proclaim a new truth. Teach that new lie to obey Christ. For me, I look at this kind of like learning a foreign language. I took 4 years of Spanish because I am terrible at art, and Spanish qualifies as an art. And so I took 2 years in high school and 2 years in college, and each year it was building upon the other. There was a lot of review, a lot of the same stuff, but each new teacher, each new year, new semester expanded upon the last one. And what I discovered is in learning Spanish and then, you know, speaking it on vacation, on missions trips, sometimes over the phone, sometimes on Craigslist or whatever, learning to speak Spanish. One of the things I learned is that when I'm new to it or when I haven't interacted with it for a while is that I would hear Spanish, translate it into English, come up with an answer in English, translate it back into Spanish, and then speak it in Spanish back, and then repeat that process with each statement. But one of the things I realized is that in being in Mexico on missions trips and having to figure out PVC pipe sizes and boards and nails and spending a lot of time in the Home Depots and local hardware stores is eventually, after incorporating it into my life, after living it, after interacting with it, and after really existing in this foreign language for so many hours or minutes, I found that instead of going through that five-step process, it became hear it in Spanish, speak in Spanish. And I believe the truth exists in this, that same truth can be spoken over your words to live by. That right now they might seem like a foreign language, but if you're persistent and you're consistent, that God is going to make that truth easier for you to walk in and abide in your life. And so I want to encourage you, even though it may seem like a foreign language at first, to continue to walk in those truths. The big question that came up for me, and as I was thinking about this and wanting to share and wanting to be part of this, is what difference is this going to make? Not that I didn't think it was going to make one, but rather that I was trying to identify what it was going to do. You know, what would come out of this? You know, I'm constantly, you know, looking and saying, God, what fruit is going to come out of this? What this event, this program, this message, this series, this camp, this conference, what are you going to do in it, God? What could you do in it, God? And I've done the same for this series, and I was looking at this, and I said, you know, what if I encouraged all of you to do the same thing, that if you actually lived in the truths that I'm asking you to proclaim, what transformation would take place in your life? James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I feel like we could preach this every Sunday and say, go home, read your Bible, and do what it says. Amen. Thank you. But you see, we like to be entertained. We like glass jars. We like emotional preaching. We like all these things because they make us feel like inspired. But really, this is a simple truth that if we believed and we were not deceived, God can transform us if we would merely listen to His word and then do what it says. Don't be a knower, be a doer. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I love this verse because, you know, often it's like, well, I can't be prideful. I can't let anyone see. And, you know, Scripture says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And so it's like confusing. Like, what do we want to be seen, God? Right? I think this is what we want to be seen. That there's a transformation, that maybe our life had some rocks, some ping pong balls, some lies and some struggles in it, but that God is refining us. The way I like to look at this, I'm going to reference a movie. Very theological, philosophical, whatever you want to say. Moana. And believe it or not, there are some powerful messages in these kids' TV shows. And I don't know that watching Coco and Moana has been the best for our kids, but hey, they seem to enjoy them. And in Moana, you have this girl who's supposed to be the leader of this tribe on an island. And yet she keeps wanting to leave it. She keeps wanting to go out into the sea. She keeps wanting to go out into the ocean and explore and go on these adventures. And her dad keeps trying to bring her back and say, no, 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 this is your destiny to be here. And so as a way of convincing her that this is her place, this is her home, he takes her up to the highest peak, the highest part of their island, and he shows her this stack of rocks. I don't know, maybe 14 slab rocks tall, probably standing about this high on the highest point of this island, and he says, Moana, one day you will carry a stone up this mountain and you will raise this island and our people higher than they've ever been before. You want to know what the problem with that is? Is that God isn't trying to create this earth to be better than it was before. Here's what he's trying to do. If you look at the story of Joshua, Joshua was given the command to find 12 leaders, one from each tribe, to, as they were crossing the Jordan River, to grab a rock and carry it on their shoulder so that the way, when they went to their place of encampment, that they would stack these rocks. Why? Not as an altar of how great man is, but as an altar and a place of remembrance for what God did in their life. That he delivered them. He brought the plagues that delivered them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea so that they could follow it. He provided manna. He provided water. He parted the Jordan River and he would conquer their enemies. You see, we are forgetful people. And so we need rocks not to stand on and proclaim how great we are. But we need rocks that serve as reminders of the awesome things that God has done in our life. And so I want to encourage you. I hope all your houses are full of rocks. And if they weren't heavy, I probably would have brought 12 of them in here this morning myself to show you. But don't create a stage to stand on. Create an altar to worship at. Denying God's transformational truth in your life is denying the witnessing of God's transformational truth to others. Oftentimes we look and we go, oh, I'm only really affecting me. My decisions only really impact me. And in some cases, you're correct. You know, if you want to live with a dirty temple, that's your prerogative. You could do it. It's your choice. But when you understand that your life transformed bears witness to other lives that need transforming, that there is power in your testimony, and that God's design is to use it to bring people who are far from Him closer to Him. And so my encouragement to you is, as God is refining you and transforming you and proclaiming new truths over your life, let them shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify God. So we go back over here to our jar. This jar started empty, representing our mind, our life. Beginning, as we're born with not a lot consisting in our minds, but as we grew older, we began to let lies penetrate our life, lies about our appearance, lies about our lack of discipline, our struggles to maintain unity with God because of our unrighteousness, and it filled up with ping pong balls. We came back the next week, and we learned that if we pour God's truth over our life, that it could expel the lies that exist and replenish us and fill us with His truth. Last week we came and we looked at just because those lies have been expelled doesn't mean that new lies aren't going to come, but the beauty of it is that we can, you know, capture those thoughts and teach them to obey Christ, that they don't penetrate and become deep-rooted in our lives. And today we learn that if we would let our light shine before men, that it would serve as a testimony, and others who feel empty can receive some of the truth that exists in Christ, that their emptiness and their lies and their lack of movement and their frustrations, God can fill them because of our testimony. And some of them aren't going to be full and overflowing. Some of them are just going to capture one truth. You know, we're seed planters. We're not the ones who get to see it through to harvest all the time. But we get to plant that truth. We get to share that truth. We get to proclaim that truth over the lives of others. Friends, I hope you don't see this series as a way to kind of like church purification, trial by fire, or anything like that. Because my goal isn't that we just be good or be better for the sake of being better. Our righteousness, our sanctification is only made possible through Christ. It's only a part of that gospel message. Understanding that our transformation, the goal of it is that other people would be able to look at our life and see not us, but see Christ. The beautiful part of this series is it starts with focusing on you, but you learn that it's not all about you. It's about pointing people to the giver of life. I think of the woman at the well who came thinking she was going to be judged, but that's not what she received. She received a truth that was compelling enough that she changed her life or act on that truth. What will you do with the truth that God proclaims over your life? So I want to ask this question. Who can God pour into with your life if you'd let Him fill you up? And maybe you jot down a name. Maybe it's just like, I don't even have a name. I'm just going to live this way and trust that God shines brightly through my life so that others may see. Not in an arrogant stand on a platform way, but in a humble worship at the altar way. And so I want to share with you in closing, what I hope God does is I proclaim His truths into my life. I wanted this to kind of come full circle. You get to see my struggles. You get to see some of the verses I proclaimed over them. You get to see the new words that I proclaim over my life. And today, you get to kind of see my dream. Now, one thing you're going to learn about me is I'm not an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. And so my dreams seem small sometimes. And that's why I trust God to give me vision for how to do ministry. And everyone out there who's an optimist goes, you know, by proclaiming you're a realist, you just proclaimed you're a pessimist. And I go, whatever. And so here's the thing. Here's what I hope God does in and through me as He refines me as I believe and incorporate these truths into my life. My struggles, discipline and quiet time and in prayer. My discipline will be a testimony of growth and will build confidence in others. I struggled with trusting people, not judging or having a critical spirit. People will come to trust me more and value what I say. Doors will be open instead of closed. I struggle with poor diet, exercise, and being healthy. If I were to overcome that. Testimony, an example of perseverance, encouragement to others who are also struggling, more energy to apply to relationships and ministry. I think we all would say we want more energy, right? Maybe that's where we find it. being a God pleaser instead of a people pleaser. My focus will be less on man and more on the important, pleasing God, and in return, he will help me to accomplish more. If I'm not focused on what you think, but what he thinks. Tough talker. Instead of being a tough talker, what if I was a gentle encourager? Be seen in a positive light instead of people being afraid. Open doors for discipleship and the ability to speak into others' life. If that's not a clear definition of what I think a pastor should be, a father should be, and a husband should be, then I don't know what is. Open doors for discipleship and showing the love of Christ to others. Acknowledging that my work is meaningful and powerful. I will approach what I do with confidence and be motivated to go after more. Instead of struggling to think that I've done enough, be motivated to go after even more and find contentment in the fruit that Christ is bearing through my life. Patient with my family. They will be more receptive to my discipline as it is done in love, not quick-tempered or lacking forethought. The last thing I want to do is drive a wedge between me and those that I love. And so my prayer and my truth is that God is going to create in me a heart of patience so that they could be receiving of my leadership. And then loving, available, caring husband. My marriage will be stronger and my wife and I will be more in tune with each other. We can celebrate many more happy years together. I think in the church especially, we're so committed to the law of Christ that says that we shouldn't or can't divorce, that we unhappily stay together. So my goal isn't just that we stay together, but that we lovingly and happily remain faithful to each other. And I'm going to close on this, and we're going to close early, so all the Sunday schools are not going to like me too much, but that's all right. One final statement said by two people, a guy named Craig Groeschel, who thought up this idea of words to live by, and a guy named Bob Goff. And they said this, and I think it's profound, and I think it's hopefully a picture of what our church is in process of right now. And he says this: we are all rough drafts of the people we are becoming. That we're not done, we're not a finished work, and you're not going to be finished tomorrow, and you're not going to be finished the next day, and you're not going to be finished the day after that. The beauty of a rough draft is that every time you look at it, it gets better. And I want to speak those words over your life, that God is hopefully refining you. He's correcting mistakes. He's speaking life into your words. He's refining you so that every day you move forward, you're more complete, lacking nothing, looking more like his son who he sent to model how we are to live. Church, you're a rough draft. Let's put some pen to paper. 2019, that God is refining us to reflect that of his son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we come before you, and it's been a process filled with laughter and tears and struggles and lies and truths and difficult things and tough conversations. God, it's our prayer that our lives would be honor and glorifying to you, that we don't stand on stages, but we bow and worship at your altars. God, would you place rocks in our life as you proclaim a new truth? Would you place a rock in our life for us to remember how you've delivered us, how you provided for us, how you care for us, how you love us? God, it's my prayer that this church in their refinement wouldn't do so we could say, look at how great I am, but Lord, that we could do so, that we could bring people to you, that our life would be a light that shines so bright that they know it's not us, that they know you're at work. God, that is our prayer. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, if you're interested in going to the VBS meeting, I think Doug's Sunday School is still in session, so be patient there. Church, you are dismissed.